dependence upon the Lord for his gracious help and blessing, let us turn to the words found in the third chapter of Proverbs, verses 5 and 6. The fifth and sixth verses in Proverbs chapter 3. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. In these two verses there is a little word repeated which is of much more importance than we sometimes realize. This little word, all. Trusting in the Lord with heart of our hearts is not really trusting at all. Acknowledging him in some of our ways is certainly good as far as it goes, but it is not sufficient. It is not in accordance with the word, and therefore not really entirely related to the gracious promise that accompanies the precept. The Lord here says all, and we should not be satisfied with a lesser standard than he gives. Now, this book of Proverbs does emphasize two principles very strongly, as you can see by the very currents of these words. There's first wisdom and then righteousness. Inward wisdom that we so need in our hearts and minds that we may walk outwardly in those ways that are right in the sight of God. The book of James, really, the epistle of James, is very much on the same lines. It is about that wisdom that we need in our hearts, that we might in our walk, in our lives, do those things which are right and acceptable before God by his grace. And the first part of this subject really is about wisdom. It is our wisdom to depend entirely upon the Lord. The second of these verses is particularly about righteousness, about the walking in those ways that are pleasing and acceptable to God. It is the sixth verse really that is especially upon my mind, as it is a word of invaluable counsel to those who are growing up into life. No better counsel could be possibly given to you on such an occasion as this than that which God gives in his word. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. But these verses are linked together, and we must begin at the entrance to the subject in the sixth verse. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Now first, we so need to trust in the Lord for salvation itself, with all our hearts. The word trust is very much equivalent to the New Testament words to believe, to have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It means to depend entirely, to rely upon him. Know that in the sacrifices, in the tabernacle and the temple in these days, many an animal was brought to the altar. The worshipper would confess his sins over the head of that beast. Then he would really do something which was very significant. he would lay his hands upon the head of that animal. And that word really implies a heavy leaning. It really identified the worshipper with the sacrifice. It was really an expression, or should have been, of his faith in putting his entire dependence and hope upon the sacrifice that God himself had promised to provide in due time. And so, John the Baptist spoke those memorable words and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." I link that with this word, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart." There is no other hope for the salvation of our needy souls but in that sacrifice that has been made, in that substitute that has been once offered. Now, is your trust there? Are you really trusting in the Lord, in the Lord Jesus Christ, with all your heart? We so need to be brought there. It is really the entrance, the remainder of the subject. We so need that precious gift of faith that we may believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. That is how the apostle spoke to that inquirer. Philippian jailer who so came in his felt need, he said, "What must I do to be saved?" The answer was very plain and clear: believe. That is, put all your trust, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. Then they preached to him the word of God, so that he would know exactly what was necessary to believe. So Jesus said, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Have you passed from death unto life? It can only be this way, by trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart. Now, if you have trusted him for salvation, then the word applies to everything else in your life. Although this is a word especially addressed to the young, there is no doubt that it really applies very much to all of us. This is what we so need to do, and which we find so hard, because there is this strong tendency to lean to our own understanding. Now, there are many things that we need in life. There are temperatures that are not provided automatically by some chance, but are given by the Lord himself. Every good and every perfect gift is from above. It cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. They come from him. And how we do need to depend upon him for our daily bread and for all that is necessary in this present life. And how great also are our spiritual needs. Our need of grace, of wisdom, of life and light, of faith and love, of patience and meekness, and so much more. But briefly, we so need the Spirit of Jesus Christ. We so need his life, his light. Well, whatever it is we need, this is really the way that we may obtain it by his grace. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, for the Lord always honors that entire trust in him. And to these words there is added this, which is so necessary, that we should be delivered from leaning on our own understandings. Of course, if we do trust in the Lord with all our hearts, then we shall not be doing this, because it is inconsistent with it. Mistrust is a wholehearted trust. It is that which the prophet speaks when he says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee." As Elijah says there sometimes, who has one heart, whose entire trust is in this one Savior. But then we are so deeply affected by this spirit of self-righteousness and self-confidence. There can be no question whether we realize it or not. Every one of us has, in our fallen nature, a deep-rooted tendency to trust in ourselves and to think that we know, or that we can do this or that. Whether you realize that or not, it is undoubtedly a truth. The pride of our nature, the hankering to do something of ourselves which is acceptable to God, this legal spirit is such a plague. It is not for nothing that this word is added, "And lean not unto thine own understanding," because we do so tend to do this. Even that great apostle Paul was brought very low on one occasion, as he says, for this purpose particular. He says, we were brought here so as to despair even of life. He says, for this reason, that we might not trust in ourselves, but in God who raiseth the dead. Well, this verse is very important. The faith that is here implied, needed, is God's own. It is his most precious gift to bestow upon those of us. Therefore, we so need to pray like that, as we did express it in our opening hymn. We pray to have our faith increased. How much there is in this present world which attacks that faith, which tends to undermine it all the time. May the Lord grant to us each that thy precious faith with his people at all, trust in him at all times, and to trust in him with all our hearts. So often the difficulty is really that trust is not complete, it is not entirely from the Lord. We still have something of this leaning to our own understanding. But then in the sixth verse we have further precept and the promise connected with this trusting, so that this entire dependence really leads into this way of wisdom and instruction. The book of Proverbs deals with many details of our lives, many aspects of our daily concerns, of all course of our conduct, the way we speak, the things that we do. This is, in a way, these verses here are a kind of summary of what is later expressed in much more detail. Now here the spirit of trusting in the Lord leads to an acknowledging of him and his gracious promise to direct our power. all thy ways acknowledge me. This is the precept to be observed. It is the kind of thing that the writer is saying in verse 3, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thy heart. What a good thing it would be, dear young friends, if this word is really written powerfully upon your heart. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. May the Lord save you from this tendency to lean on your own understanding, and grant you that trust to look to him for all the wisdom and counsel that you so need, as we ought. Well, this word speaks of walking. It sets before us paths and ways. In fact, there are in the first four or so verses, the chapters of this book, 10 or 11 occasions where we find these words together. Paths and ways. We are all walking. We are all going somewhere. And there are plainly set before us in the Word of God two ways. And every one of us must be in one of them. Jesus says, broad is the gate, wide is the way that leadeth to destruction. Many there be that go in thereat. Straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Well, there again set before us many and the few. Now in these chapters here we have these warnings and these exhortations with regard to these ways. In the previous chapter, there is this warning that those in verse 15, whose ways are crooked, and they grow in their paths. And then the desire in verse 20, that thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the righteous. Now, dear young friends, which way are you in at this moment? Where are you found? Later on, in the next chapter, we read this word. This is the word of God. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Ponder the path of your feet. Think about where you're going. What is your destination? Now, it is very foolish if we ignore the signs. If you were to go down this road on the way to Hastings, instead of going as you wanted to do, on the road to Ashford, you'd be going in absolutely the wrong direction and getting farther and farther away all the time. But if you were to see sign after sign that said that you were going to Hastings, and you still imagined and were convinced in your own mind that you were going to Ashford, what a foolish thing that would be. How obstinate. Now, dear friends, as regards the way of life, what are the signs that are set before us in the Word of God? There are these signposts which are given to indicate which way we are going. There are these truths set before us. There are these tests concerning the life of God in the soul. Ponder the path of thy feet. Consider where your way will end. And so we have it also expressed in the following chapter in these scriptures. The writer says, I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. They're here recorded, they're set before us in the Word of God for us to consider. And again, enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Now many are doing it. There may be many that you know, those you've been to school with, those who live next door. There are many around you in this life who are in this way that leads to destruction. Now what folly it is if you go with them. Listen once more to this which the psalm becomes. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. Now in the Word of God there are set before us these ways. There is the way of life, the way which is so centered in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. His disciples said to him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus said to them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He also said this, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. If you are following the Saviour, you're in the right way. If you are not, you're in the wrong way. Whoever people you're following may, people you're following may be, if you are really following the Saviour, he will lead you to everlasting life, but that is the only way. So the first thing we do so need to ponder, be concerned about, is whether we are in the right way at all. This way of faith, of trusting in the Lord with all our hearts, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Are you in the right way? And if that is so, we still need much guidance in the way. Looking at that picture that is upon the front of the booklet that has been issued on this occasion, there don't seem to be any clear paths around the chapel at all then. I suppose that on a day when it had rained as it did this morning, on such a day it would be very muddy and the paths around would have been very difficult to manage 100 years ago, or even much more recently than that. Now, there are very convenient paths for us to walk in, and so we do walk in these ways. No doubt nearly all of you came the same way into chapel, but you didn't tread in the same places. Each of us has our own personal walk. The way to glory is the same for all, but the footsteps are personal. They are our own in all thy ways. Acknowledge them, and he shall direct thy paths. Now these ways then really include all the various aspects of our life, the way, the things that we do, those things that we choose to act, the way that we choose to act, and the things, the words that we speak, all that is really included in conduct is war. Now, how may we acknowledge the Lord in all our ways? Well, first by praying concerning them, praying constantly with regard to them. Whenever we really pray, we are acknowledging the Lord, and acknowledging also our dependence upon Him. Real prayer is a humbling of ourselves before God. It is taking up our right position as His dependent creatures before the infinite majesty of heaven. And if we are to walk rightly, it must be in a way of constant prayer. We may link this word really with that exhortation in the Philippians. Be careful or anxious about nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. It would be impossible to acknowledge the Lord in our ways without praying for His direction and help and guidance. Otherwise, we must be leaning to our own understanding. Now, if you acknowledge the Lord constantly in this, by seeking His face, by asking day by day for that grace and that wisdom and that direction and that counsel that you so need and which is so set before us in these pages. The Apostle James says concerning this wisdom, any man that wisdom, and that cannot really be a doubt for it, because there is no doubt whatever that we do, every one of us needs that wisdom, whether we feel it or not. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. And then later on, James says, ye have not because ye ask not. How can you expect to be wise unless you ask God, who is the fountain of all wisdom, to give you that wisdom that you need? And then also we acknowledge God when we do give grateful thanks to Him for His gifts. That is the least that we expect to do in our dealings with each other. Someone gives you a present, however small, you do expect to say thank you, to acknowledge that that has been given, and the kindness that is behind it. But how much we do receive from God. What a constant stream of benefits there are which do come to us. What a great privilege it is to have His word before us and to be able to meet together in this way of liberty, and that this should be continued for 100 years. What great cause there is to give thanks to God for His mercies. It is an acknowledgement of His goodness. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. For those three particular things which believers have every cause to do always. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And so the prophet says, I will mention the loving kindnesses of the Lord, the mercies of the Lord, according to all that He has bestowed upon us He says, I will mention it. I will acknowledge the goodness of God in this. Now, do you do that? Do you acknowledge the good hand of God in the things which you receive in your life? And then thirdly, we do also acknowledge God by a humble spirit, by the way that we act in all things. There is constantly brought before us in the Word the contrast between the humble soul and the proud boaster. We read of that in the Epistle of James. He says, all such boasting as this is vain. But how many are engaged in this? It is the natural tendency of our proud hearts to boast, not to acknowledge how dependent we are upon God. The Word, which is very humbling, says, what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Who makest thee to differ from another? If we are, in some respects, more favoured than others, why is it? It is certainly not that we deserve anything, but it is because of God's free goodness. We read that he resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. And so the Apostle Peter says, be clothed with humility, have this outer garment always upon you. It is a right acknowledgement of God when we walk humbly before, when we do manifest this humble spirit, the realization of our own unworthiness and nothingness, an acknowledgement that he is the great giver of every good and perfect gift. Well, the Word says, in all thy ways, acknowledge. And then there is attached to the precept a very gracious promise. And we shall direct thy path. Now this we so greatly need. And there is an emphasis here. It's not exactly expressed in the Word, but it really is he himself. It is, so to speak, underlined. It is he himself who will direct our ways. If we always acknowledge him, then he will undertake for us. So he has promised to do, and so he has so wonderfully fulfilled his work. He himself, you may look to the person of the Saviour again with regard to this. He said, if any man serve me, let him follow me. Where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honour. He will lead, he will guide in that way that we take. If we do commit all our ways unto him, what a wonderful promise that is. The Saviour so promised his own nearest disciples to do this for them, to be with them always. Though he himself, in a personal way, must leave them upon the earth, heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, preach the gospel to all nations, preaching and teaching them, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. He would go before them into every place. He would lead them and guide them continually. And often in this life we may seem to come to a crossroads. And with you, dear young people, so often makes such an important such a difference in the future as to which way you go. These important decisions that you may need to make in life as regards the work that you may do, the employment that you may have, so much will follow problems. It is not enough to lean to your own understanding. The word says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. You may be sure, dear friends, if we obey the precepts, the Lord will fulfill his promise. If you, by his grace, seek his direction and acknowledge, then he will not fail. He will never, never fail to keep his own word. He will give that direction that is so needed. There is that word in the Psalm, in Psalm 32, which is similar to this, and so very precious, where he says, I will instruct and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. So Martin says, with mine eye upon you, watching over you all the time. If we really do desire to do the Lord's will, it will be made known to us sooner or later, maybe after much watching and waiting and prayer, sooner or later that will be revealed. The Lord will not fail to keep his own promise, of that we can be absolutely certain. And so there is this precious promise adjoined to the precept. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. There is much cause for us to consider such a word as this. You may say, well, what can we do about this? Well, there are some things which we certainly can do. For one thing, we can commit such precious words to memory. Any of us really can do that. You can write them out, repeat them, and make sure that they are written on your mind. With such a word as that, surely that should be done. Would be no bad thing, really, for us to have a suitable copy of such words as these, which contain so much precious truth in them, from the walls of our homes, so that they might be constantly before us. In any case, we do need to know what God has said. And then also, there is his word, which we can read. All of us, I suppose, almost can read the scriptures. At least we can read some of these words. And those in these verses are not really very long. It is quite a simple, straightforward word. Other passages here also are similar. Now we so need to read what God has said, but not to read as though it were an ordinary book, as though this was something which we could understand by ourselves, but to see that the Lord would give us that understanding, and to come to his word with such a prayer as that. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy word. And surely, dear friends, we may ask for those things which are here set before us, for this spirit of faith, which is so vitally needed, this precious saving faith. You really ask for this gift. And this direction of the Lord in our ways. Now if you choose your own way, before long you will find that you have chosen badly, and it may be too late to remedy many things, but if the Lord directs your ways, your paths, you will never have any cause to regret that. You may be sure that His direction is perfect. It is the very best. And so we so need to look up to Him with regard to such a word as this. Some of us here have prized this word, I'm sure, for many years. We know that the Lord does fulfill His promise. We know well enough that when we have leaned to our own understanding, we have gone sadly wrong. But when we have really sought the Lord to direct our path, then He has done what He has done. I suppose it was 35 years ago. The Lord so blessed that word in Psalm 32. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. And how many, many, many times over the years I've had to plead that word again before Him. And I do tell you that He has never, never failed to do what He has promised to do. Often it has meant much seeking, much waiting upon Him for it, that you may be sure that the Lord will fulfill His word. He is faithful and promised. And so He says in this wonderful, precious exhortation, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path.